Good morning. Daf Tesen Tanis. So we are on the bottom of Chesamid Beis. We're at the two dots. Significance of rain. Probably you've heard this before, as we've been discussing this now for a number of days. It's Masech Tanis. It's the first parak. That's the topic. Topic is how significant rain is. We'll move on to a lot of interesting topics today over the course of today's Agadata, and the Mitzvah of Tzedakah. Okay, well, let's get right to it. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learned Lezech and Nishmas Lo Lupin Zaltzman. We start the two outs. Kibbutz Geisos, Tzedakah, Maiser or Maiser Parnas Simon. Okay, Simanim Mnemonics in the event that we want to memorize the Gemara. Remember, back in the good old days, Gemara was committed to memory. Okay, we should definitely strive for that. So you have a mnemonic to help you remember how the sequence of these discussions are going to work. These are all going to be statements by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan will be the author of all these statements, and so therefore we have mnemonics to help us remember the statements of Rabbi Yochanan. First is Kibbutz Geisos. I'm sorry, Kibbutz Galios. So Am Rabbi Yochanan Gadol Yom Gshamim Kiyom Kibbutz Galios. It's great. The day of rain is as great as the ingathering of the exiles. When Mashiach comes, so all the exiled Jews will come back to Eretz Yisrael and live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's as great as the day of rain. Shenam Rashuv Hashem Shivisenu Kafikim Banegev. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings back all those who were scattered about. It's Kafikim. It's like Afikim. Now what's Afikim? Vein Afikim Ela Matar. Afikim is a reference to rain. Shenam Ravayiru Afikayam. V'amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, so that is the first of the five statements made by Rav Yochanan. That's kibbutz. I'm Rav Yochanan. Gadol Yom Gshamim Shafilu Geisos Poskos Bo. Rain is so great that even if you have an army of soldiers, so they're stopped by rain. Meaning an army of soldiers, obviously a strong bunch, motivated bunch, but you have rain that comes down, and rain stops them from moving any further. So Shenamar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk that speaks to this idea. Talameha Raval. Nachas gedudeha, the rows were saturated, and nachas gedudeha, and the army was took a break. They relaxed. Relaxed over here, the way the Gemara understands it, is not because they wanted to, but because they had to. They couldn't go any further because the roads were just simply too muddy. The Amar of Yochanan and Shem and Tzarim Elabishul postgates Daka. We are now up to the third statement of Rav Yochanan. Rain stops. Rain does not come down because of postgates Daka. What does that mean, postgates Daka? So you take a look at Rashi. I'm sorry, I missed an important word. Postgates Daka Berabim. Now, take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Lisham, l'shem v'lifnim v'orcha demel senakashen adamasu lepaskat tzedakah beino levein atzma ve'eino nosein." Right. Basically, somebody who makes a pledge in public. Right. Rashi just simply says it's not generally speaking a person doesn't make a pledge privately. Right. Where you know you say to another one, "I pledge I'm going to give money," but in public to make yourself look good. So the general. Generally, what's done is that a person will pledge, I'll give this much money. Okay, great. So that's a public pledge. You make a public pledge and you don't keep that word, so as a result of that, rain does not come down. That's another consequence of a rain not coming down. I remember yesterday's daf. We should all remember yesterday's daf. Actually, 2 days ago now, the Gemara gave a number of reasons why rain doesn't come down. But the Gemara over here is introducing us to another one, which is unpromised pledges, unkept pledges, I should say. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that speaks to this idea. It's a pasuk of Mishlei. So there's no wind, there's no clouds, there's no rain. Ish mishalel b'masa sheker, and it's a result of the fact that people give false gifts, masa sheker, meaning that they pledge that they're going to give money and then they don't give money, and as a result of that, the rain doesn't come down. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan my dechsev. Okay, we are now up to the fourth statement of Rabbi Yochanan. In the mnemonic, it's maaseh, but it really should be changed to maaser. As the Gemara here will point out, aser taaser, this is Parshas Re'eh. Aser taaser, this is where we begin most of the leanings on the last day of Yontif. Aser bishvil shetis asher. So the Torah is telling us, what's the double language? Aser taaser. It means that when you take off maaser, you will become wealthy. Meaning, generally speaking, and the Gemara is going to make this point in just a moment, generally speaking, when you do a mitzvah, so you should expect no reward. For the obvious reason that the purpose of doing mitzvahs is not to receive a reward in this world, but it's to collect credit for all for the world to come. But when it comes to the mitzvah of giving maaser, and I would say also the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, although that's debatable, but in terms of the mitzvah of giving maaser, so there, there can be an expectation where I'm going to give meiser, and as a result of that, I'm going to become wealthy. Aser b'shul shetis asher. This is what Rav Yochanan teaches us from the double lashon in the pasuk. In the pasuk. Ashkechei Rav Yochanan liyinuka de Reish Lakish. And Rav Yochanan is now speaking to the son of Reish Lakish, which basically means it's his nephew. Right? Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan were brother-in-laws. That's per the Gemara Bava Metzia. And here now Rav Yochanan is having a conversation with his nephew, and this is after the death of his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law died already. I know that because of the context of our story. We'll see that in just a moment. So, Ashkechei Rav Yochanan liyinuka de Reish Lakish amalei emalei psukech. So Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Rav Yochanan is learning with his nephew, Reish Lakish's son. He says, okay, let me hear a pasuk. Amalei aser ta aser. So the child says, the pasuk in Parshas Re. So he's learning Parshas Re. So amalei mai aser ta aser. So he says, what does that mean? Amalei aser b'shul shetis asher. So, Rav Yochanan teaches his nephew that the pasuk means that if you take off meiser, you will become wealthy. So the nephew says to the uncle, how do you know that? So the uncle says to the nephew, well, go test him out. Him, capital H, meaning, let's see, you know, just do it. You'll see. So Amalei Mishar Linasei LaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ksiv Lo Sinasus Hashem. You're not allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't do that. So Amalei Hachi Amar Rabbi Oshia Chutz Mizu. So Rav Oshia teaches us no, with exception to this. Meaning you're right. Generally speaking, you can't test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the exception to that is going to be Meiser Shenemar Havis Kol Meiser Abesa Otzer. You'll bring all the Meiser into the storehouse. This is a pasuk in Malachi. Vayiterev Beveisin. You're gonna have food in your house. Vanechanuni Nabezot. And you can test me. If I don't open up the storehouse of the heavens, and I will give you bracha ad belidai until there's not a non-ending amount of bracha. And these last words in this pasuk Malachi, my ad bilidai. How do you translate that? You see, I just struggled translating it. How do you translate it? I'm Rami Barchama, I'm Rav Achiyivlu Sifso Sechem Milomardai. Your lips are going to become worn out by saying enough, enough, meaning you're going to get so much bracha that you're going to actually ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, I got it. I got the bracha and enough. And you're going to get worn out just by saying the word enough. That's how much bracha you're going to get. So Amar Leh, fine. So that was just a Gemara's, just a quick tangent in terms of just explaining the last three words in the pasuk in Malachi. But meanwhile, what comes out from here is the following: that Rav Yochanan is having exchange with his nephew. The Rav Yochanan says, "What is the nephew quoted the pasuk aser ta aser?" The uncle says, "You know what we learn out from that pasuk." We learn from that pasuk that if you take off meiser, you can have an expectation that you're going to become wealthy. So the nephew says, "How do you know that?" And Rav Yochanan basically says, "Look at the pasuk in Malachi." And now we're at the final bit of the exchange between the nephew and Rav Yochanan. So e amar le. So the nephew says to Rav Yochanan, "I have a mate hasam lahay psuka lo yitzutrich halach hu lioshia rabach." So if I would have gotten to that pasuk, meaning right now I'm in my learning, I'm not up to Malachi. But if I would have gotten up to Malachi and I would have known that pasuk in Malachi, I wouldn't have need you, and I wouldn't need Oshia your rabbi. Okay, it does sound a little bit strange, maybe perhaps a little bit irreverent, the way the nephew is speaking to the uncle. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to talk more about that later on, that basically, whatever, that doesn't sound like he was appreciative of the teaching that he was just taught. Okay, another story between the uncle and the nephew, but before we do that, so let's take a look at Tosos. Tosos over here discusses now this idea that if you give meiser, so you're going to become wealthy, right? That's the aser taser. So you take a look at Tosfos over here. He has the following discussion: Hachi sabistifri aser taser as kol tvoa zarecha yotzei asadesh shana shana. Okay, so we learn it out from the pasuk. Now the pasuk is talking about specifically the mitzvah of meiser, as we've been discussing, and we discuss, you know, on and off every, you know, throughout Shas. There's when it comes to the mitzvah, Truma's a meiser, so Truma's the first percentage, the small percentage that you give to the Kohen, approximately 2% that you give to the Kohen, but after that you have to then take 10% and give it to the Levi. And that's a mitzvah of Meiser Peros, which is an application from years 1 through 6 of the Shemitah cycle. So it sounds like this drasha that we're quoting, Aser Bishvil Tishitis Asher, is speaking specifically about the mitzvah of Meiser. But Tosus quotes the Sifrei. Sifrei is the Medrash Halacha on the Chumash. It's a primary source. And the Sifrei goes says like this. We're in the second line of Tosos. Ein li ela tvuas arecha shechai b'maiser. This only tells me that the promise of becoming wealthy is limited to maiser, actual maiser. Ribis uprakmachi v'chol shar revachim minayin. How do I know that if I tithe and I take it and I take 10% off of my other income, ribis uprakmachi, the interest that you charge? Right, Sifrei, let's assume the Sifrei is talking about interest that you're allowed to charge, meaning to a non-Jew. Prakmachia, any business dealings. V'cholshar revachim, or any other incomes that you receive. Minayin, how do I know? Meaning, how do I know that there is also going to be a promise that you will become wealthy? Tamam is kol. So the word is kol, dahavi matzal memer es tevuasecha, my kol, l'rabos ribas v'prakmachia, v'chol davashar marviach bo. So anything that you profit from. So in other words, there really are two points that are being taught by the Sifri. Point number one, is that there's a requirement to take 10% off of your income. Meaning, right? I'm sure you've heard this before once or twice. It does not state anywhere in the Torah that you have to give off 10% off your income to give to. Let's assume the poor. Okay, let's just assume, even though Meister is not to the poor, Meister is to the Levium. But there is nowhere in the Torah where the Torah says that you have to give 10%. So the Sifrei is teaching us, so point number one is that there's also a requirement to give 10% of your income as well. Meaning in addition to all the grains that grow in your backyard, which for us may not be that extensive. And we don't live in Eretz Yisrael. But on top of that, there's also a mitzvah of giving off 10%. Two, the second thing that the Sifrei is teaching us is that just like there's a promise that you will become wealthy if you give off Meiser, so too there's also the same promise that you're going to become wealthy if you give off if you give from your income.
Question.
Yeah.
So if somebody gives Meiser on his grain, right? Then he sells the rest and he makes a profit. He has to give 10% of that also.
I mean, I don't know.
Did he already give Meiser?
Right. Correct. But the Meiser that you gave, that's already a standing obligation. Okay, that sounds more like you should ask your local Orthodox rabbi question. But I'm just, in other words, right now, we're just doing the basics. Just this basic idea that the phrase learning out from the word kol, that there's an obligation to give 10% from all your income. And Tosus also quotes a medrash, meaning, I say medrash now, I mean in the more classic sense, medrash agada. So it's not normally the source of halachic discussion, but Tosus quotes it. Tosus says this is another source as well. If you don't give off Meiser, so all you're going to end up with is just the 10% that you should have given. So, klomer lo yaseh sadcha ela kifi ma'asro sheyak kodem lachin. Dani yotzeh min asadeh, klomer, mesha yisa ragila otzila ma'aseh min asadeh. In other words, basically it works in both directions. Meaning, if you give ma'aser, so you're going to be given the bracha of more, of osher, of wealth. If you don't give ma'aser, so then ultimately what you're going to end up with is only the 10% that you should have given to ma'aser. O ma'aser ba'adam echad. The Tosus tells an unbelievable story. It's great. We'll spend a couple minutes going through it. It's really fantastic. So there was a man, he was wealthy, he had a field, and the field produced 1,000 kor. Kor is 30 sa'ah of grain. 1,000 of those, that's a lot. It's a tremendous amount. So in other words, he was an owner of a large field that was a very productive field. Vayoso asher nosin kuf korin lemaiser. And of the 1,000 that he gathered in, So he took 100, 10%, and he gave it off as meiser. And he would do it every year. And this was the practice of this person his entire life. Now as he's dying, so now he is, now he turns to his son, and he says to the son the following, so now you're understanding that he's going to pass the field on to his son. So he gives his son's very simple instruction. Look, here's how it's going to work. The field's going to produce, it's going to make 1,000 kor of grain of yield every year. And your job, very simply, is to take 10% of it and give it to the poor. Shani marish lecha oseh b'chol shana v'shana elef korin. Hizaher shetafish kuf korin. Kasher asisi. Be careful that you take off the 10% like I did. Umeis oso ha'ish. And the man dies. Now, those of us with enough life experience, I'm not one of them, but those of us with enough life experience, so you know, and studies have been done on businesses that are passed down to the next generation, and it doesn't turn out well, generally. So I'm getting a lot of head nods. So it's a reality of life. So now the son is entrusted with the field, and again, his instructions were very simple. It's going to do great. Just take 10%, and if you anyone want to guess correctly, what's about to happen? So the amada ben bimkamav asasa delav karin kasher hayaose bechayav, and the field was producing 1,000 kor every year. V'hifrish mimenukuf karin b'shana. And then, so he took off 100 kor, like his father instructed him to do. B'shana shnia nistakel v'ra ben shamaiser hayadavar gadol. And the second year came around, and the kid realized. He thought to himself, you know, I'm giving a lot to tzedakah, meaning that's 100 kor. 100 kor is a lot. So he says, you know what? So he came to the executive decision, the business decision. You know, that's a lot to give to the poor. I'm not going to give it. So the second year comes around and he doesn't give. And now the third year, so how much does the field produce? The field produces only 100 kor. Meaning the amount that he was in the previous year supposed to give to tzedakah. So nitzar alav v'shamu krovav shekach miyet v'lo hirfrish meiser. The neighbors here, the relatives here, and they also hear that he didn't give meiser. Ba'ukulam aslam meluvashim levanim v'smeichim, and they're all coming and they're wearing white clothing. White is a sign of joy and happiness. Right, we will see that at the end of the Masechta. And they're wearing white and they're happy. So Amar lahem kemedum alisha atem smechem b'kilkalasi. So the son, the now inheritor of the land, says, I understand, you guys are mocking me, you're making fun of me, you're happy in my sadness. Amru lo nistar alecha ki garamta lecha kol hara azos. So the relatives say to him, look, you have no one to blame but yourself. Umimne malo hifrashta maiser karoi heitev. And you didn't separate Meiser, meaning this is all simply a consequence of your action. You didn't separate Meiser, and therefore all you're left with is the amount that you should have taken off. And over here, what a fantastic analogy. Tosus over here says, when you were the original owner of the land, meaning when your father died and the land was given over to you, so you were the Baal HaBayis, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, he was the Kohen. Okay, Kohen over here, just, it's, you know, the, not to get too technical, because we're going to lose the point, and I don't want to do that, but in other words, Kohen, Truma, 2%, but the basic idea is that when you were given the land, you were given the keys to the land, you were the Baal HaBayis, and 10%, you need to give 10%. So, and the 10% belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in other words, obviously, what do you mean? What does that mean? It belongs to Hashem. Meaning, and the poor obviously are under his care, so you're supposed to take that 10%, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and give it to the poor. But now, you weren't a good Baal HaBayis, meaning you weren't a good owner. You didn't give the portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of 10%. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baal HaBayis, Vata Kohen. So now what happens? The roles now get reversed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assumes ownership of the land, and now you turn into the Kohen. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 90%, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that. Okay, meaning it's the land didn't produce, and the 10% that were supposed to go to the poor, that's now you. You're going to be the recipient of that 10%. If you don't give off Trumas and Maestros, so then the role is going to become reversed, and you're going to be only the beneficiary of the Trumas and Maestros, meaning that's all you're going to get, and you're not going to get the other 90%. You're only going to get one of ten. Okay, and he quotes Pesukim. But what you get out of this Tosfos, which seems to be clear from this Tosfos, is the idea that this 10% that you give is not just limited to Eretz Yisrael and the agriculture and the lands in Eretz Yisrael, but when you have an income that comes in, so then you have an obligation of giving 10%. Okay, what do you want to call that obligation? A din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan? That's its own separate shir. But certainly the idea that you're supposed to give 10% of your incomes certainly clearly comes out of Tosos. And as I pointed out, a secondary point is that just like the Gemara promises aser b'shul shetis asher for the meiser that you give, so ostensibly it would be true for the income as well. Okay, and the idea, and it's just such a powerful idea by Tosfos, that if you don't give the 10% as you should, so then you become only the beneficiary of the 10% and no longer the distributor of the 10%, and we saw that together in the story. Okay, back to the Gemara. I know that's a lot of time with Tosfos, but it was powerful Tosfos. Okay, we are now in the second story between uncle and nephew. So in the first episode between Rav Yochanan and his nephew, the son of Reish Lakish, so the idea that you could test the Kadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to the mitzvah of Meiser, and the son says, and the nephew says, how do you know that? And Rav Yochanan says, I have a pasuk in Malachi, and the nephew says, okay, now, if I would have known that pasuk in Malachi, we wouldn't have needed to have this conversation. Okay, next episode. We are on Tes Amud Aleph. We're a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. V'su Ashkechei de Rav Yochanan Yinuke de Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan finds the nephew of Reish Lakish to Yasev Amar. Yivelas Adam Tesalef Darko. V'al Hashem Yizaf Libo. The person is foolish and he goes off the derech. And Al Hashem Yizaf Libo. And he blames the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's a Pasuk in Mishlei. That's just human nature. Right? We don't like assuming responsibility for our actions. It's hard for us to assume responsibility. So what do? We blame God. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan v'kamatma. So Rabbi Yochanan was saying over this pasuk in Mishlei, and he says, you know, these pesukim in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Amar mi'ika mi'da d'ksiva b'ksuva d'lo remizi b'araisa. You know, this was Mishlei. It's hard to imagine that we have a pasuk in Mishlei, which is not somewhere the idea, the kernel of this idea is not found in the Torah. So Amalei Atu I Hamilo Remizi Vaksiv. So the nephew says to the uncle, "What do you mean? I'll find it. I'll find for you a place in Chumash where we see this idea where people go off the derech and they blame Hashem." Vayetzel Leibam V'yachadu Ishal Achiv Leimor Ma Zos Asa Elokim Lanu. And the nephew quotes the pasuk regarding the brothers of Yosef, where they were being charged, they were being accused of being thieves, and vayetze libam v'yechadu ish al achiv, and their hearts jump out of them, meaning they're terrified, they're scared, as they're being accused by what ends up being their brother, but they don't know that, right? The second in command in Egypt that they stole, or they were accused of being spies, and mazos asa elokim lanu. And they say, the brothers say, look what God did for us. Right then, so therefore, again, the idea that they went off the derech, and they're blaming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the pasuk quoted by the nephew. Dal einai v'chaza bei. So now, Rav Yochanan lifts his eyes. It's an expression, right? Perhaps he was old. Rashi over here quotes a Gemara in Baba Kama, the idea that his eyelids were droopy, whatever. In other words, so he lifted his eyes up, and he looks to see who is this smart alecky kid who's telling him, who's answering him, very quickly. V'chazi bei, and he looks and he sees, oh, it's his nephew. Now, Asya ime afikte, and mom comes and mom grabs the child, meaning mom, the widow of Reish Lakish, right, the previous sister-in-law of Rav Yochanan, and his sister. Thank you. Right, excellent correction. The sister of Yochanan. So she takes the kid. She grabs the kid. And Amar Leh, Tami Kamei. Let's get out of here. Delo le'avalach ke da'aved la'avucha. So that he, my brother, doesn't do to you what he did to your father. Okay. Period. Now, it only begs the question, right? It was obvious. Meaning, what did Rav Yochanan do to Reish Lakish? What was she referencing? So Rashi over here doesn't tell us much. Rashi just simply says, look at the Gemara Bamitzia. Okay, so in my moments of research, so I opened up the Gemara Bamitzia, and the Gemara tells the story. The Gemara Bamitzia basically tells the entire biography of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, how they met. How they ended up becoming brother-in-laws with one another, and then there was later in life, as Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan were learning together, so there was an awkward exchange between the two of them. They were discussing halacha tuma tahara regarding certain utensils that happened to be utensils of weaponry, and Reish Lakish knew exactly when the weapon would be finished. Remember, Reish Lakish, his previous occupation was that he was a thief. He was like a real tough guy, and so he knew about all these different types of weapons, axes, and all these different types of weapons. So Rav Yochanan made a comment. He made a quip, and he said, it's funny that you should know about these things because that's what you were in your previous, previously. Okay, and I'm going to avoid judgment, meaning should have Rav Yochanan said that, should he not have said that? That's not for me to say at all. Anyway, Reish Lakish took offense to it. Reish Lakish said, even though now I'm from and now I'm a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, but truth of the matter is, what happened in my lifetime? Previously, I was a leader, I was a head, they called me Rebbe. In my previous life, not exactly Rebbe, but in other words, he was a leader. And now they call me Rebbe, and really there's no difference between my previous life and the one I'm living now in Torah Mitzvos. And Rav Yochanan says, what are you, crazy? You're now under Kanfei Hashchina, you're under God's protection, you're Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Like, what are you, how could you make a statement like that? And Rav Yochanan had Chalishas Das, right? That's the language of the Gemara over there in Bava Metzia. Right? Like, Rav Yochanan, felt terrible. And that impacted Reish Lakish. It impacted Reish Lakish to the point where Reish Lakish died. Meaning Rav Yochanan, right, that awkward exchange between the two of them and Rav Yochanan's his reaction, his Chalishas Das, impacted Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish died. It seems that way. Meaning, I'm going to strongly encourage that you look the Gemara up yourself and see yourself. But yes, I agree. It was not, Rav Yochanan did not do that intentionally. But now that we know that part of the history, so now we understand that Rav Yochanan's sister grabs a kid, as the kid now made a smart comment in front of Rav Yochanan, but smart meaning a little smart alecky, made a smart comment in front of Rav Yochanan, so mom grabbed her and grabbed the son and pulled her away and said, okay, that's enough with your uncle. Right. And did not want her son to suffer the same fate as her late husband. Amar of Yochanan. Okay, and that was the fourth statement of Rav Yochanan. Okay. Amar of Yochanan Mata Bishul Yachid Parnas Bishul Rabim. And now we are up to the fifth statement of Rav Yochanan. Okay, Rav Yochanan now makes another statement, and that is that the rain comes for an individual, but parnasa comes only for a community. Meaning that if an individual asks for rain, Akash Baruch Hu says, fine, no problem at all. He'll give rain for the individual. When the community asks for parnasa, then and only then does the Akash Baruch Hu grant parnasa, but Akash Baruch Hu does not grant parnasa for an individual. So Mata Bishul Yachid Dichsiv, and the Gemara quotes Psukim that support this idea of Rav Yochanan. Yiftach Hashem Lecha Esotzara Tov, let's say it's Matar Artzecha. Matar Artzecha. Key word over here, Matar Artzecha. Rain for your land, you meaning the individual. Right? It's hard to hear that in English, the difference between you of Rabbim and you Yachid. But in other words, you for the individual. So rain comes for the individual. But Parnasa, Bishul Rabbim. Well, when it comes to Parnasa, because Baruch Hu grants Parnasa, but for the public, I'm going to provide for you, lachem, you meaning in the plural, lachem, So good. So that's basically the position of Rav Yochanan, that when it comes to Parnassah, Parnassah is only granted for the public, not for individuals. Meiser Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Amar Shlosha Parnassim Tovim Amdu LiYisrael Elohein Moshe Aaron Miriam. There were three Parnassim, three sponsors, supporters of the Jewish people, and they were Moshe Aaron and Miriam. V'gimel Matanas Tovas Ninu Al Yadam. And three gifts were given to the Jewish people on account of these three parnasim, these three leaders. Ve'elohein, be'er, ve'anan, uman. So the water, the clouds, and the bread. Be'er b'zchus Miriam. Water came on account of Miriam, right? Basically, you could see throughout Miriam's entire life, water, right? When she puts Moshe into the basket, it happened going down the Nile. Okay, Miriam is water. And Amur Anan b'zchus Aaron, the clouds is as a result of Aaron, and Man b'zchus Moshe, and Man comes as a result of Moshe. So Mesa Miriam nistalek haber. So when Miriam dies, so the bear goes, the well goes, the water supply goes. Shenemar v'tamasha Miriam uksib asriv alo yamayim le'eda. So you look in Parshas Chukas, and you will see in Parshas Chukas that after the death of Miriam, so then the right, it's coming up next week. Okay, so the. So you'll see that she dies and the water goes away. V'chazur b'chushneihem, the water comes back. B'zchushneihem, meaning originally the Be'er Miriam was for Miriam, but after she dies and after the water goes away, the Jewish people beg for it back. It comes, but through the zchus of Moshe and Aaron. Meis Aaron nistalko anan ekavod. Aaron dies and the ananim go away. Again, back to Parshas Chukas. Shenemar vishmak anani malach arad mashmua shamash shemeis Aaron v'nistalko anan ekavod. So when Aaron dies, so the anan ekavod go. And the kasavan inna lo rishus lilachem Yisrael. And so when the Kanan Melch Arad saw that the clouds went away, so they said, okay, the defense system of the Jewish people is down. Okay, we have now permission to attack. Behind the dichsiv, you call Eda ki gava Aaron. The entire nation saw that Aaron died. That's how we are originally going to explain the pasuk. But now the Gemara says, based on what we just learned, we're going to give a new twist to the pasuk. Am Rabbi Abba, Altikra Vayiru Ela Vayera'u. Not Vayiru, they saw that Aaron died, but they were afraid that Aaron died. I'm sorry, they were afraid. Ki gava Aaron. Because Aaron died. The word ki over here is going to be translated as because. Ki, the word ki in the Torah, can be translated in one of four ways. Perhaps. Ella, but, and daha, because. And over here, in this context, we're going to explain it as daha, because. They were afraid, meaning the Jewish people, because Aaron died. So now the Jewish people lost the Ananim. Chazru shneim b'tzchus Moshe. So now it came back on account of Moshe. So in other words, so the bear left because of the death of Miriam, that came back. The clouds left because of the death of Aaron, that also came back in the chus of Moshe. Meis Moshe nistalku kulam. So now Moshe dies, and now we lose all three. We lose the Be'er, the Anan, and the Man. Shenamar. And how do we see this? Where do we see this in Tanakh? That all three went away at the same time. The pasuk says in Zechariah, V'achid esh loshes haroim b'yerech echad. I lost the three shepherds in one month. In the same month, all three shepherds died. You cannot understand that pasuk literally, as the Gemara now is going to point out. V'chi b'yerech echad mesav alo Miriam mesav b'nisan. Miriam died in the month of Nisan. Aaron died in the month of Av. And Moshe ba'adar. And Moshe died in the month of Adar. Elam and Lamish and Nizbalu Gimel Matanas Tovish and Asno Ayadam and Nistalku Kulam Biyarech Echad. But rather, what the Pasuk in Zechariah is teaching us is that they all died in different months, but what happens is that we lose the Matanas that were given on account of them all in the same month. Meaning that when Miriam died, so we did temporarily lose the Be'er, but we got it back. When Aaron died, we temporarily lost the clouds, but they came back as well. When Moshe died, we lost all three when Moshe died, and that's what the pasuk in Zechariah means. Alma, all this is coming to teach us what? That the Parnassah was given on account of one person. And the Gemara says, but that goes against what Rav Yochanan told us. Rav Yochanan told us that Parnassah is only for the Rabbim. The answer is pretty self-evident. The Gemara is going to spell it out. So the Gemara says, Amashkacham parnasa b'shol yachid, shani Moshe, kevin de la rabban hu ba'i kerabim dami. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Moshe is not an individual. He's representative of the Jewish people. He's leader of the Jewish people. So this is not considered parnasa for an individual. This is parnasa for the rabbim. And therefore the Gemara says, this does not pose a problem to the statement of Rav Yochanan. Okay. Back here, we're in the Gemara, we're in the bottom of Tes Amud Aleph. We are now continuing towards the bottom. Those are the five statements of Rav Yochanan. We have now covered, basically, from the beginning of today's daf to where we are right now, is all five statements of Rav Yochanan, Kibbutz Galios, the Gayasos, Staka, Meitzer, and Parnas. Okay, all five statements attributed to Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara moves on in terms of Divrei Agadata. Rav Huna Bar Manoach, V'Rav Shmuel Bar Idi, V'Rav Chia Mei, what seems to be Estonia. Okay. Havashchicha Kamei D'Rava. So these three Amoraim were constantly in front of Rava. Kinach Nashe D'Rava, also Kamei D'Rav Papa. And then Rava dies, and so therefore they needed a new Rebbe. So they moved from Rava, and they learned in front of Rav Papa. Kol Emes D'Hava Amar Luhu Shmaita, V'lo Hava Mistabar Luhu, Hava Miramze Adadeh. So these three were tremendous Talmid Chachamim, and they didn't like Rav Papa Shir as much as they liked Rav Shir. Rav gave Shir, and okay, Rav is saying good. But Rav Papa saying Shir, and Rav Papa said something, and it was strange to them. And they gave each other looks, like, what is he talking about? Like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And Chalosh Daite. So Rav Papa, it made Rav Papa feel terrible, right? He was giving Shir, and his three new students who were not accepting what he was saying and questioning what he was saying and challenging what he was saying and didn't make Rav Papa feel good. Akaryu Bechamei. And so therefore what happens is Rav Papa has a dream and they would read Psukim in the dream. And obviously the Psukim that are read to you in a dream obviously are forecasting what will happen. And what Pasuk is read to Rav Papa in his dream? Pasuk in Zechariah, we just heard it at the end of the previous Gemara, we're going to lose three shepherds in 1 month. Which basically the dream is forecasting that these three Amoraim who are now attending Rav Papa Shir, who are making Rav Papa feel bad, so they're going to die. So Lamachik Yavam after Emine, next day in Shir, so he says goodbye to the three students, and Amar Lahu Lezlu Rabbanan Bishlama. And he says to the students, take care. And now it's interesting. Right when he says to them, take care. So if you look over here, you see that there are two different gersaos in terms of the way he expresses goodbye to them. The way we have it in our Gemara is lazli rabbanan bishlama, as opposed to if you look at the side of the Gemara, the gersa is lishlama. Now you remember the Gemara at the end of Brachos. The Gemara at the end of Brachos says that when you say goodbye to somebody, you say lech lishalom, which is a good way to say somebody. Lech bishalom, that's what you say when you are leaving from somebody who's dead, right? So it is interesting that it's a question girsa in terms of what he said to them, meaning that he understood his dream to be prophetic and he knew that they were going to die, and that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Lech bishalom. Or no, maybe what he was trying to do was trying to give them a bracha so that they wouldn't die, and that would be the lech lishalom. Perhaps, this is a suggestion, but perhaps that's the discrepancy between what is the proper way in which he addressed them.
Why didn't he just sound so negative
issue? Right. Well, I guess this is only speculation. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know if they were meaning to do bad or, you know, I don't know. It's fair. Hard to understand the nuances behind this episode. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi havashchich kamei de Rav Papa. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi was also often in front of Rav Papa have a makshle tuva, and again Rav Papa just had a hard time in Shir. Right, this student was asking him a ton of questions, and Rav Papa didn't know the answers to a lot of his questions, and it was a struggle. So yumachad chazi denafal alpei. And now what happens is that after Shemoneh Esrei, so we have what's called Nefilas Apayim. Nefilas Apayim, we call it Tachanun, but Nefilas Apayim means that you put your head down on your hand, on your arm, and you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for supplication. Now, again, with davening, it's certainly been seeming this way lately in the daf, in davening, so back in the good old days, it was much more personal, extemporaneous. You felt something, you said it. Nowadays, everything is nusach, and you know, we have a very fixed, standardized text and the davening, and so hard for us to really visualize. But basically, he's saying tachanun, and what is he saying? Shami de amar rachmana litzlan mikisufa de shimi. So in his tachanun, meaning in Rav Papa's tachanun, he says, "Please, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, save me from the embarrassment of shimi," meaning basically, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right, help me understand the Torah better. Help me present in a clearer fashion. Meaning, I don't want to suffer the indignities of the questions of this shimi. And so, please help me. That's what he's asking. He's begging a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, shimi overhears this, and Kabbalah alai shtikusa v'sulo akshele. And so, he accepted upon himself shtika, meaning he's going to go to shir, but never again is he going to ask a question, and because he realized that he was embarrassing Rav Papa, and he didn't want to do that, and he accepted upon that upon himself. Reish Lakish agrees with Rav Yochanan that rain comes even for individual. How do I know that rain comes for an individual? Hashem osem chazizim umata gashem yitain lahem leish esev besadeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives rain to the ish, to the man. It's pretty clear from the Pasuk that rain can be given even to an individual. Yachol HaKol. So Tamu Lamer Le'ish. So I might have thought that it could be just simply to anyone. So no, Tamu Lamer Le'ish, it's to an individual, even for an individual. V'tanya Yili, Yachol L'chol Stosav. Now, when it comes to an individual receiving rain from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe for every piece of his land, Tamu Lamer Sadeh. No, for a part of the field. Yisaydeh Yachol L'chol HaSadeh, Tamu Lamer Esef. No, and when rain comes down, rain can become so focused, rain can be concentrated to just a single blade of grass. Gemara tells the story of Rav Daniel Bar Ketina, who had a garden. So every day he would go out to the field and he would inspect his land, his field. This row requires rain. This row does not require rain. So, and when the rain would come, so as he asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rain was specific to where it was needed, where he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the rain be provided. May Hashem oseh chazizim. What does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes chazizim? I'm Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Malamit Shekot Tzadik V'Tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh lo chaziz b'fnei atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides a row unto himself, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particular in terms of the rain that he allocates to every tzaddik. My chazizim, I'm Rav Yehuda Perchos. And the chazizim is a reference to the clouds. Okay, and not just any clouds, but the flying clouds. What does that mean? I'm Rav Yochanan Simon Lamata Perchos. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, okay, again, a little more meteorology. Again, I'm not speaking from a position where I understand meteorology, but just saying over the Gemara. So the Gemara says, how do you know the rain's going to come down? So look at the parchos, of the fast-flying clouds underneath the very heavy, dark rain clouds. So that is a sign that rain is going to come. My parchos, I'm Rav Papa, Eva Kalisha, Tuse Eva Smichta. It's those fast clouds that are basically running underneath the very heavy rain clouds. I'm Rav Yehuda Niala Mikame Mitra, Ase Mitra. Before rain comes rain. Basa Mitra, Pasik Mitra. If rain comes after rain, so the rain is going to stop. So well, the Gemara says, let's explain this a little bit better. Mekame mitra ase mitra, meaning if before rain you have rain, meaning before the heavy rain, you have a light rain before the heavy rain, so that is good. Visimancha, and that means that the rain is going to continue. Visimancha mehulta, mehulta. And the way to understand it, or the way to remember this, not a way to understand it, but the way to remember this is going to be when you're sifting flour. Rashi over here provides the imagery. What does that mean when you're sifting flour? Rashi writes, "Shemitzchila yotzei kemach dakul lovesof subin gasen." Because what happens is that when you sift flour, the first thing that comes out is a fine flour, meaning that's the light rain that comes. And then, as you continue to sift and you shake that sifter, so out it's going to come the heavy flour, meaning whatever the heavier bits of bran that you don't want. So the same thing is true regarding rain, meaning if you have a light rain and then you have a heavy rain, so that is the siman bracha, that's good. The basar mitra pasik mitra, however, let's say it's reversed. First the heavy rains come and then the light rains come, that's no good. The simancha charye de'izni, in the Gemara says, and a way to remember that is the excrement that comes out of a goat. Okay, it's really an indelicate imagery, but Rashi says, Reishal Ezim, when you have the excrement coming out of a goat, Bitzchila Yotzegasel Vosof Daka. So first comes out the heavy excrement, and then comes out the thin excrement, and then it stops. So that's really indelicate imagery, but that's the idea of if you have heavy rains and then you have light rains, so that's not good. That's not good rain. Ula Ikla Labaval. Ula goes to Bavel. Ula travels to Bavel. Chazapurchos. And he sees the fast clouds. Amrluhu panumani. Dehasha asimitra. And so Ula now turns into weatherman and he says, okay, fast clouds coming. We know what that means. It's going to rain. Lesof lo asimitra. But it doesn't rain. Amar, so Ula says, I wasn't wrong. It's those Babylonians. Ki hechi demishakre bavlae. Hachi mishakre mitchaihu. Nature takes the personality of the persona of the people living there, and there are a number of ways to support that idea. But nature takes on the persona of the people. The people here in Bavel are liars, and the weather lies as well. Meaning, according to the strict letter laws of nature, it should have rained. Those fast flying clouds were indicators of rain, but because the people here are liars, so therefore the weather lies as well. Okay, powerful idea. What a powerful idea. Ula ikla labava chaze malatzina de tamre bezuza. Ula goes to Bavel and he sees a basket full of dates and they are so cheap. Right, they are azuz. Amar malatzina de dovsha bezuza o bavlai lo aske ba'araisa. And once again, he uses this opportunity to reprimand the Babylonians. And he says, look, the food here is so cheap, I don't understand. They don't have to work so hard here in Bavel. Meaning they should be engaged in much more Torah study here in Bavel than what they're doing, because look, it doesn't cost a lot to live here. Balayla tsaruha. So that day he was in Bavel. Okay, I'll help himself to some dates. He ate the dates, and that night tsaruha. He had a terrible time that night, and again, more indelicate discussion, but it was basically in the bathroom the whole night. Amra mala tsina desakina bezuza. That wasn't a basket full of dates. You know what that was? That was a basket full of swords. And now I'm going to go the other direction. I'm impressed that the Babylonians are able to learn as much as they can, considering the fact that this is the ill effects that you receive from eating the food here in Bavel. Okay, so Ula saw things from a different perspective. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Amar Kolam Kulam Imeme Ukainos Ushose. Okay, we'll end today's daf with a basic machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. We had this in Rosh Hashanah, meaning there was a basic machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua in Masechet Rosh Hashanah regarding when the world was created. So, regarding some basic natural phenomena, so they debate. So here in Tanis as well, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, we're going to have a very basic, rudimentary machlokas in terms of the rain that comes from the clouds. What is the source of that rain? Where did the clouds get that rain? Okay, so once again, it's one of those very interesting situations in Shas where they're having a machlokas on what seems to be natural phenomena. Are we supposed to take the Gemara here literally? Are we supposed to take the positions literally? Maybe there's a possibility for synthesis. You remember back in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Tam says, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, in terms of when the world was created, whether it was created in Nisan or whether it was created in Tishrei. So Rabbeinu Tam said back in the Masecht in Rosh Hashanah, Elav Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. They're both right. They're both presenting a perspective of when the world was created, right? So perhaps here as well, although I don't know, right? Rabbi Natan made a comment over here, but perhaps here as well, also there, it's a possibility that the two positions can be synthesized. And how do we relate these Gemaras in terms of what we understand as meteorological facts? So, okay, so you'll have somebody who is far more intelligent than me discuss the Gemara in relationship to what is currently understood as basic meteorological facts. I'm interested in just simply presenting the Gemara and a basic pshat in the Gemara. Tanya, the Gemara says, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Lazar, Kulam, Kulam, Mimeme, Ukainos, who shows that. The whole world gets irrigated by the main Ukainos. Now, Ukainos is basically ocean, meaning the ocean. All right, the it's a reference to the Mediterranean. It could even go to the Atlantic. Okay, whatever. In other words, what they understood to be the main body of water, of ocean. Shenamar ve'eya lemenar tvishkas kol pnei hadama. And Rabbi Eliezer seems to have very sound ground for his position by virtue of the fact that the pasuk says in Bereishis that the water rises from the earth and irrigates the entire world. So in other words, how is the water coming down? Water evaporates from the ocean, goes up into the clouds, comes back down again. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Amalei Rabbi Yoshua, avalo meimeu kainos meluchinein. So Rabbi Yoshua says, I don't understand, how could that possibly be? We know that the okainos, the ocean, is salty water. And meanwhile, the rain that comes from the clouds, it's not salty. Okay? Amalei mamtikin ba'oven. So Rabbi Eliezer says, doesn't bother me at all. The clouds sweeten the water. So again, they have different ways of expressing basically what is natural phenomena. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Kolam Kulam Imay Mal Yonim Hu Shosa. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, the water doesn't come from the ground, but the water comes from the heaven. Meaning that there's a storehouse, there's a reserve of water in the heaven, and the clouds basically just are presenting it. Shenam Alamatar Shemayim Tishtem Mayim. So Elamani Mekayim Ve'eg Yalem and Arts. And what do we do with that pasuk in Bereishis? Melamed, Shananim, Mitgabrim, Va'olam, Lerakia, Potchem, PM, Kenod, or Mekablam, Matar. All that pasuk means is that the clouds go up to collect. That's what it means. Ve'ed Yalem in Aretz. The clouds go up; they ascend to collect the water from the storehouse up high, and then they bring it down. Shenemar Yizku Matar. And then basically the clouds are like open up like sifts, like sieves, and the water comes down. The distance between each drop is only but a hairbreadth. Rain is as great, we've heard this before in the Masechta, rain is as great as the creation of the world. Okay, and so therefore, the creation of the day of rain is as great as the day of creation. That's the end of today's daf. So again, just quickly summarize, today's daf, we had the five statements of Rabbi Yochanan, regarding Kibbutz Galios, an army stuck on Meiser Parnas. That was basically the Amud Aleph of today's daf. We also went through Tosfos on Tes Amud Aleph, where Tosfos talks about the importance of giving 10% of your income. Talks about that if you don't give it, you're going to end up becoming a role reversal between you and Kadosh Baruch Hu will now assume ownership of your land, and you will become only the recipient of that 10%. Okay, we saw the Tosfos of powerful Tosfos, and then after that, the Gemara went on to other Divrei Agadata, Rav Yochanan and his nephew, two incidents with Rav Yochanan and his nephew, and Ula traveling out to Bavel and being critical of the Babylonians, and then we ended today's daf with a basic machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rav Yoshua, vis-a-vis where are the clouds getting the water from? From the ocean or from the heavens? Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua.